You're listening to Pod for Ham, a podcast from The Incomparable that's all about the musical Hamilton, taking it one track at a time through the original Broadway cast recording. Every episode features different groups of interesting people talking about a single track. Visit us on the web at pod4ham.com or follow us on Twitter at pod4ham.
It must be nice, it must be nice to have Washington on your side. It must be nice, it must be nice to have Washington on your side.
Welcome back to Pod for Ham. We are up to Washington on Your Side. I am Shannon Sutterth, and I have with me tonight three wonderful ladies, and we're going to pull this song apart. We have Casey Barber.
What?
And Christina Grace.
Ayo.
And Alyssa Getches.
Hey.
Welcome all. Okay, before we get started, just a quick check. Of course, we all, you know, love the sound, love the cast recording, and love listening to the music. Some of us have seen the show. I have seen the show. I was lucky to see it back in March. What about you all? What's your experience with the musical and the show?
I have seen it more than once, and people get mad at me when I tell them that, but that is the truth.
I am mad. I'm mad right now.
Yep.
I'm in the same boat. I actually saw it twice.
All right.
Okay. I have never seen it, so I'm just out here floating around by myself.
Your time will come. Your time will come. They've got the Chicago. They're setting up San Francisco. They will be touring. You will get your chance.
We can't wait.
It's going to run forever.
Okay.
That's true.
And yes. Eva.
So with Washington on your side, we have just gone through the second cabinet battle. This time, Hamilton won, where you could say Jefferson won the first one. And since they had to do all their backdoor dealings for Hamilton to succeed in creating the treasury as he wanted. And now we have just seen Washington... call Hamilton to him. Hamilton and Jefferson were spitting at each other a little bit, and Hamilton leaves, and now we get Burr coming in to sort of observe, you know, gee, that's kind of nice to, you know, be able to count on the president at all times. And that breaks us into this song, Washington on Your Side. So I want to make a real quick confession before we go on. Back on episode, I think it was 20B, when we did the Tony Awards, at the time when I was talking to David Lauren and Andy Anatko, and we were talking about, you know, the different nominations for Best Supporting Actor, and my opinion was that David Diggs was being honored more for Lafayette, because at the time, from what I remembered of the entire musical, I considered Lafayette to be the more technically difficult as far as the raps went. I'd forgotten about this song.
How could you forget about this song?
Oh my goodness. This song is amazing.
This song's nuts!
Because I was thinking cabinet battles, which weren't quite as fast, you know, that sort of thing. I had completely forgotten about this particular song at the time. So I apologize here and now.
You know, though, I am with you, though, because I feel like this song is a little bit of a sleeper song. It's not
totally.
It's not immediately the flashiest, catchiest song in the 46 song recording, but man, does it deliver when you get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when I first started listening to the album, you know, you get caught up in the Satisfieds and, you know, like the cabinet battles and all like the big flashy songs. But I found that this and One Last Time were the two that eventually I got to a point where they were just the two that I wanted on repeat, because I found the sort of like the contrast of the two and the stories within them and like the structure of the pieces themselves, like, so compelling. So I think sleeper song is like the perfect term for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that fits very, very well. Now that you put it that way, you know, because we get towards the beginning of the song, of course, it first starts with Burr and this, you know, nice sort of jaunty melody. It must be nice. It must be nice, and so forth. which Miranda has said in the Hamiltome, in the Hamilton book, that this melody actually took him the second longest, only Satisfied took him more time to come up with the actual music of it. But how it starts off nice and easy, and Jefferson's, you know, starts laying out his issues in his rap, which has a ton of internal rhymes and amazing wordplay in it, but it's not that fast, and it gradually gets faster as Burr joins in, and then Madison joins in, and then all of a sudden you've got a lyric that Miranda came up specifically because he knew David Diggs could pull it off. if Washington isn't going to listen to Discipline Dissonance, this is a difference. It just, it's amazing. It's right up there with the fastest that Lafayette could ever deliver.
It's really such a brilliantly, efficiently put together song. And for those of us who have seen it, it actually... Also, full confession, I just saw it again a couple of weeks ago, so I've seen it now with David, and I saw Andrew Chappelle a few weeks ago do it, and I love me some Chappelle, but
that's good to hear.
Like, after you've seen it once and you have, you know, time to process, then you start pulling these things out, so it's even better to watch it as a sleeper song in that point, because the staging just so efficiently encapsulates the turning point. This is such a good moving part song to crystallize the downward spiral that is about to happen, and it's so nice if we want to discuss the staging for those of us who have seen it, how it starts with Burr being a little wistful, and then as the other characters come in and start moving in unison, you actually, and props to Blankenbuehler, they become this moving army around the stage,
right,
to propel themselves as a force against Hamilton, and it gets bigger and faster and quicker, and in the end, when Jefferson signs his resignation and delivers the letter, and all three just turn on their heels and walk out in unison. That might be my new favorite moment.
Yeah, because they do bring it. Washington wanders back out those last few lines so that Jefferson can put the letter right in his hand. And then, as you said, they finish, turn on their heels, and all three of them walk straight backstage.
It's an empty stage, and then by the end of the song, they're pulling in all the elements of Washington's desk in his office, so it will flow immediately into One Last Time.
Right.
And then it's just like, boom, click, boom.
Yeah.
And yeah, another thing about the staging that I love, as you said, even though it's very empty, their body positions, all of the actors sort of focus their attention on the side of the stage that Washington left on. So even as they start grousing about, you know, this Hamilton guy, Washington only listens to him, we can't do anything, they're still checking that side of the stage to make sure that Washington isn't, like, going to hear them.
Right. He's a presence.
Yes.
Inevitably, invisibly, always.
Yeah.
One other staging thing that I love is when they build up to the point of right after the raps have gotten super fast, and then they break back into more of song, you know, with the, oh, this immigrant isn't somebody we chose. And then we get to the Southern MFing Democrat Republicans. They actually do the A Stomp, which is a dance move from the Atlanta rap scene. And at that point, it's not just the three of them, but some of the ensemble has come out behind them, and they're all dancing that together.
Amazing.
And especially cool is how Burr doesn't join in until they get to Democrat Republicans, because he's not a Southerner. He's still a Northerner. He's going to throw his lot in question with these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a little while since I saw it most recently, but I was going to ask if you remembered when Burr sort of joins in on it, because I think that's one of the things that I love the most about this song is, like, how he's sort of, like, it's recently after Rumor It Happens and Skylar Defeated, and so he's sort of, like, taking steps to be able to have an influence on everything, but doing so in a way where he's not taking direct action, he's more provoking others.
Right.
Which I think is just so smart for his character, and, like, the staging, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's just him and Jefferson at the top of the song, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Jefferson's in the background and Burr is just kind of looking in Washington's direction.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just like, oh, nice. I like he can see the discontent And so he just kind of like pulls out and like hooks him in and just is like, all right, let's build on that and
right.
see if we can take Hamilton down through this tool of using Jefferson and then pulling Madison into
it. Yeah, if I can remember correctly, there at the very beginning, Jefferson's sort of giving Burr a look of like, what are you doing here? And then
exactly.
you know, he hears, you know, Burr yeah. start singing and he's just like, okay, yeah, you could be useful. Yeah, come here, dude.
Yeah, so right. let me yeah. tell you how to do this. And then Madison yeah. comes in, and that's what's so good just on the other level of this song is they have three different Vendetta is probably the only appropriate word for Jefferson. They have three different
right.
goals or rationales behind this. And Madison is very logical, looking for reasons and credit. He's the follow the money and see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Burr is, it must be nice. He still wants to be in the room where it happens.
Right.
And Jefferson
right.
is all, Hamilton, got to bring him down. The emperor has no clothes. So they all have their own parts and their own cadence and tone. But then when they come together in Southern Mother Democratic Republicans, it is so powerful. It's like the deadly force, but it's just,
right.
you can feel it. It's so great the way that they play with each other's motive and use yeah. their words and rhythm to portray that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how they like pull Madison in with it. Like look back at the Bill of Rights and he's like, which I wrote.
He's like, yes. credit where credit is due.
It's like, you know, like stab him in his pride to like get him on your side with this sort of witch hunt against Hamilton. But I love that, you know, true to character, we hear the specific grievances of Jefferson and Madison, but we never hear like the specific like policy thing that Hamilton has done that Burr hates.
Right.
You know, we never hear his opinions on either of the cabinet battles or anything like that. It's just, I need him out of my way.
Somebody has to stand up to his mouth.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Basically, he shot to the top. Why am I not at the top? You know, I came from a better background than him. You know, why is he, you know, why has he got
right.
everything I want?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah,
same old
personal.
Burr complaint, man.
Yep.
Classic Burr.
Yeah. Something else that I love about this particular song that we get, especially since Jefferson gets the most of the rap to it, the mm-hmm. song, according to the Hamiltome, originally was longer. Originally, Madison had a whole section similar to Jefferson's that talked mm-hmm. a bit about mm-hmm. how, you know, he and Hamilton used to have the same vision. They wrote the Federalist Papers together. They used to be on the same side, but he's
right.
gone and done all of this stuff that Madison doesn't like, and
right.
and it makes Madison unhappy.
It's the kind of thing that makes you wish you could get, like, a director's cut that's, like,
yeah.
5 hours long.
Yeah, exactly.
Minimum 5 hours.
Right, right.
I read all of this stuff in the Hamiltome, and I do. I want to hear all of the drafts and all the versions, but I do love the end result
oh,
where
yeah.
Madison doesn't get a lot to say, but it just makes his character that much funnier in the end
mm-hmm.
to just have these very tiny interjections.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, sorry,
oh, yeah.
historical James Madison. It's better for the show.
Yeah. But what I also like is how Jefferson's rap style, especially in this song, you really get a sense of the educated, well-read man that he was. It is crammed
mm-hmm.
full of physics references, of math references, of
right.
vocabulary that lends itself to the enlightened high thinker that Jefferson saw himself as. So I think that's a really cool contrast. It adds more personality to the different characters.
Very true. And again, for those of us who have seen it, Chappelle plays it even bigger than David did by the end of his run, which I think is an interesting choice. And whether or not we're bringing in our own knowledge again of, you know, the real life Jefferson and the
right.
real life Madison. Unfortunately, the real life Burr was much of a cipher, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, to put that against Jefferson's not inability, but very reluctance to be a public speaker and a public
mm-hmm.
figure of authority. And to see him sort of take charge as show Jefferson is always an interesting push-pull for me, knowing what I know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if anyone else has, I mean, I will go on record saying Jefferson is my favorite character in the entire show. I've done that, that people
okay.
know. But I don't know.
It's out there.
Yeah, it's already out there. Call the cops. But I don't know if anyone else has a problem seeing Jefferson as more of the swagger guy when David's not doing it. The time will tell.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Those who are lucky enough to see it multiple times.
Right.
One day. I'll get there. I'll get there one day.
The other thing about they mentioned about editing the song down, that Miranda's original vision included a section where I guess the ensemble was going to come back out on the stage and the three of them would start spreading the rumors and start doing the work that's Jefferson's
doing that legwork.
Yeah, starting that legwork, which he wound up deciding to cut out. Yeah, which is the other thing I think is really interesting, how kind of like back in Stay Alive, where Hamilton wants to take down Lee, but Washington has told him point blank, leave him alone. So Lawrence steps up to do the dirty work for him.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Jefferson is basically saying, you know, if you guys will do all the hard stuff and get the dirt on him, I'll put it out there. So I find that kind of a nice, interesting, not exactly parallel, but they call back to each other for me.
There are so many callbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking of even the music in this ends up calling back once we get to the election of 1800, which for some reason when my Hamilton recording downloaded off of iTunes, those two are next to each other. It's totally out of order.
Oops.
So when I finish Washington on Your Side and I'm not putting it in album order, it goes immediately into the election of 1800. So iTunes just knows things, which is very weird.
Okay.
But it does bounce back to that song. And that's actually where they kind of kick Burr out of their little trio that they have formed against Hamilton.
Yep,
because
right.
He's now trying to once again go out on his own and get his power. And that sets in motion yet another set of bad life choices that ends up really badly this time around.
This song is the first sort of moment chronologically, so setting Burr and his narration aside, that someone introduces the idea of shooting Hamilton, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, Jefferson's lyrics are expressed in terms of loading the weapon. Mm-hmm. I'll pull the trigger. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which, and then of course, there's also the callback to satisfaction.
Oh yeah.
Which has that double meaning of not only, you know, the sort of satisfaction that Angelica talks about, but also like in the sexual term, but also like the dueling. Like I must have my satisfaction. Which I think is just so smart because Lynn is just a genius.
We have to mention that at least
once. Sometimes
he
just comes up with something he has to use. Right in that section where they talk about satisfaction, he actually employs a spoonerism.
Oh my God, I love
where
spoonerism.
Fits of passion, and in the very next line, pits of fashion.
Just fashion.
And, he said that was just something that hit him that he had to use. And so he worked backwards to build more lyrics around that to make sure he could use it.
Which, of course, he probably wrote before they had conceived Jefferson to be such a flamboyant rock star costumed character. But then it just gets another level once you put that on and it's even better.
Yeah, because if I understand correctly, real life Jefferson may have had a posh home life, but he didn't necessarily dress to show his success such as it was.
He considered himself the poorest citizens, the farmers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, but of course, then Hamilton is the reverse of that, you know, he's, you know, like designing the outfits for the men in the army or whatever it was.
Right.
So, you know.
All these guys were the pits of fashion.
Yeah.
As far as the historical context, I don't know a huge amount of detail about some of the things that this song references, other than, you know, the Bill of Rights, that, you know, they're trying to build the new nation, and yet there's still this push and pull over how much power to give the federal government versus how much power the state should have. Madison complains that he's doubled the size of the government. Apparently, the Treasury employed the most people at the time in Washington's administration, thanks to Hamilton making it such a big thing.
Yeah, well, and like the biggest historical moment in this song is the creation, or is it, or maybe the formalization of the Democratic Republican Party, just in terms of, you know, like, and it, I love how they introduce it as if they're like, it's like the rise of the supervillains.
Love it. Is it too soon for a Suicide Squad joke?
Oh my God.
Never too soon.
I mean, that's the Suicide Squad I would watch.
Seriously.
I mean, Bird, Deadshot, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because, and it makes so much sense coming right before Washington steps down, because in his farewell address, he's saying, you know, he's warning everyone about the rise of like a two-party system. And so this is the song where we get the creation of that two-party mm-hmm. system. We have the Federalists, and now we have the Democratic Republicans, or the Jeffersonian Republicans, who I guess dwindle at the end of the 20s with at some point. So they're around for a little while, but then sort of fade out. But I was doing some high-tech Googling earlier this evening.
Yes, my Jefferson bio is in the other room, so I cannot confirm nor refute when exactly the Jeffersonian ideal went on the lower end of the bell curve. But yes, you're right.
Yeah. Well, and I think that initially, like, the slight anachronism is that they first just started calling themselves Republicans, but Lynn... and like later became known as Democratic Republicans, but Lynn didn't want to create confusion with the current Republican Party. So he was just like, we're just going to call them Democratic Republicans out of the gate.
Oh, that makes sense.
But according to Wikipedia, they were preceded by what I love. I kind of loved the frankness, is the Anti-Administration Party.
Yes. They were anti-federalists at one point
right.
as well.
Yeah, uh-huh. yeah. Which is basically, the article is just like, basically it's an informal faction of Madison and Jefferson. So it's just like them being pissy in a room together.
Yeah, it's basically like, they put a little, like, no girls allowed sign on the door. We're like,
right. No Hamilton's allowed. You know, I always maintained that if history had been taught to me as people rather than, you know, places and dates and things like that, I would have been much more interested in it. And I feel like Hamilton has sort of proved that theory correct.
Right? I mean, yeah, I this is such a good cautionary tale for high schoolers on so many levels on what gossip and bullying can do, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, which ties in a bit to the fact that a lot of Jefferson's rap lyrics in this song have a very deliberate undercurrent of double meaning of, mm-hmm. you know, not just that Hamilton has too much influence on Washington politically, but that, you know, there's a couple of implications that, you know, maybe the two of them know each other a lot better than they should. you know, using lyrics like, you know, talking about, you know, kissing and being in his pocket, things like that. There's definitely stuff there, which... is kind of interesting, I think, to the audience, since they already know where Hamilton screwed up as far right. as not keeping his pants up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, certainly do.
Yeah. And I don't know. Washington is just like, it's like, I feel like that sort of, like, I always sort of like let that side of the song, like roll off my brain uh-huh. because if Jefferson is one of your favorite founding fathers, it's like I came out of seeing the show for the first time being like, Washington is my favorite founding father uh-huh. now. Like, I didn't care before, but now it's Washington.
No, let's be clear. Jefferson is my favorite character.
Right.
Washington is my guy.
Oh, he's right. So dreamy. Like, Washington seriously is dreamy. I mean, like, yes, historically there are a lot of bad things, like owning slaves. Like, what was it? A set of dentures made out of slaves' teeth? Like,
oof, horrible. Hard
yeah. Yeah. Lots of horrible things about Washington. But in the musical, I'm just like, he's dreamy.
He is.
Well, I mean, Chris Jackson. Like,
yes, exactly. Right? Yeah. I also maintain that Chris Jackson just needs to walk around with me all the time and sing soothing things to me.
Yeah,
that would do wonders for anxiety.
Right?
Can we think of anything else that you wanted to say that you haven't had a chance to say yet?
This song is great.
Agreed.
The song is awesome. I think one of the other things that I really love about it is how it feels so contemporary. Like the issues that they're talking about feel so contemporary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, with the, you know, like our farmers are struggling to make ends meet. Meanwhile, you know, like Wall Street is just like, you know,
robs
pulling in so much money.
Looking for chips to cash
exactly,
in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like if you're looking for something that feels contemporary that people in like a contemporary audience can identify with, like, that
we
right
smack
there,
each other in the press. We don't print retractions. Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound at all familiar.
What could you possibly be referencing? I don't know.
Right? But I think that's one of the things that I value so much about the song is that it really ties the history and like the fact that these issues that we are fighting about now are the issues that we have always fought about. And really connect us to like the creation of our country and the history of our struggles to try and create a more just union, she says with her hands on her hips.
Well stated.
Okay, well, this has been a wonderful discussion. I thank again you all for joining me. Thank you, Casey.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Christina.
Anytime.
And thank you, Alyssa.
Yeah, happy to be a part.
And this is Shannon Sutter. Again, always happy to be a part of Pod for Ham. And we thank our listeners for joining us. And we hope you will step up again next time when it's one last time.
The emperor has no clothes. We won't be invisible. We won't be denied. Still, it must be nice, it must be nice to have Washington on your side.